the stage is mine, and I am going to describe one of our friends on the Disc Golf Pro Tour. He is a man. A man amongst men. He wears high socks and generally fairly well put together in a very modest way. He's a switch hitter, forehand, backhand extraordinaire. And though he's not from this particular state, it kind of feels like he is.
Hi.
Which particular state?
I'd give it away.
Oh, okay.
Really?
I'm trying to do it in the most roundabout way possible to make it fun.
Who wears high socks?
I mean, moderately high socks, not like knee socks or anything. I definitely, okay. And I'm milking the segment because I also don't want it to be like 15 seconds long. It'd be good for it to be like a minute or two.
I just can't think of a player who's moderately put together.
He is one of the friendliest, nicest people on tour, in my opinion. Very personable. God. If you have people who have had an interaction with him, I'm 95% sure it's been incredible because I've only had good interactions with him.
He embodies a state that he's not from. That's what you said.
I'm completely lost.
High socks, nice person. It's annoying that the tour is full of nice people. Like, honest to gosh, at this very moment, I'm annoyed because that doesn't eliminate anyone.
It does not eliminate anyone.
Hi, so.
Wait, it seems like he's from Hawaii, but he's not? Is that where we're at right now?
I mean, basically.
Parker Welk?
It's not Parker.
He is from Hawaii.
It's not Parker Welk. The high socks thing might be irrelevant. All right, do you want me to give you a serious hint?
Yes.
Yeah.
He wears the crest that we all wear.
The crest? What is a crest?
Raven Newsom.
Yes, Joey got it.
Oh my God.
All right.
Okay, so the state that he embodies, but he's not from. So I guess that's Massachusetts. That makes sense.
Yes.
He throws forehand and backhand. He's incredibly nice. What was the first thing you said?
He wears high socks.
High socks. I guess that does check out. Okay, yeah, that was good. Nice, Eagle. That was good. I enjoyed that. It made me think.
All right. I think we might, hopefully we have a little bit more traction on this new starting segment.
I just think that we have decided that opening the show with guessing something is cool. And I think whatever we're doing that is going to be fun. But yes, right
and
now
when
it's
I
the players
when
is
I
cool.
Started, when I started talking, I didn't know who I was going to say. And Raven Newsom jumped into my mind.
Wow.
That's exactly what he does best.
Exactly.
Welcome back. It's been a 2-week off season for the Pepper Boys, but we are back and we have another world traveler in the house. Eagle has relocated his situation. How is Hawaii?
His situation. I love that's what you call it. His situation.
My situation is absolutely tremendous. Hawaii, I mean, I couldn't really ask for a nicer place to be right now. The weather is literally perfect every single day. It drops down to like 65 at night, and it's 80 in the day, and it's been just sunny, and holy cow. I don't know if I can realistically spend another winter in Colorado knowing that a day's trip away is paradise. The food here is just like so good for the way I like to eat. Just going to like farm stands, getting fruit that you've never heard of, getting local grass-fed beef. I mean, I'm in heaven right now.
I would lie if I say I wouldn't be slightly jealous of your current situation.
And there's disc golf here, and I'm literally training and getting off-season experience. So it's like I'm living in Hawaii right now. That's the best way to put it. I'm not vacationing in Hawaii. I mean, a little bit, but I have upended my situation, as Simon said, and I'm living.
Where are you living?
Hawaiian Christmas going to be like?
It's just going to be Ratana and I, and there are no Christmas trees in sight. So it's going to be pretty relaxed. I think there is some hippie gathering going on where I'm staying, so we might go check that out.
Is there Amazon there? Could you even order stuff normally?
So, yes. If you have Prime, it takes probably like 6 to 7 days to get here, opposed to overnight. Where we're staying, actually, they don't, USPS doesn't deliver. So,
wow.
So we're in the jungle. I think FedEx or UPS might deliver, but we have no mailbox currently. So if I wanted to order, say, a broken mic piece that I need for my DJI mic, I'd have to send it to somebody else's house or send it to like a PO box or whatnot.
But looking at your service, looks like you have ripping Wi-Fi.
I have insane Wi-Fi right now. Like I've been doing this 12 days of Vlogmas, and my videos upload in like a minute.
What's your upload speed?
Wow.
My upload speed's in like 200 or 300s.
Huh.
It's a good upload speed for a content creator is like the biggest luxury you could ever ask for. It takes out just the most annoying variable.
Upload speed is like back pain. You have no idea how much you need it until you don't have it.
Right.
Yeah, Joey, how's your life in the dome?
Good. My life is good. It's cold. It's snowing a lot here in Minnesota. We've probably
the complete opposite.
Yeah, we've probably gotten about, I want to say 15 inches of snow in the last 2 weeks. So a lot of shoveling in the mornings. Been trying to be good about doing the mundane stuff that you need to do to train in the off season. Going to the dome, going to the gym, eating appropriately, and then just knocking out one or two computer items every day. Had a really great whatnot stream last weekend with Eli. We streamed for shout out to Eli. He saved us. We started and we were having internet issues, just like we talked about. And we just lowered the resolution and it somehow went perfect after that. But we had a two camera setup. We used OBS, just like they do on
Streamlabs.
Yeah, or Smashbox podcasts, a lot of those live podcasts. And yeah, we streamed for, once we got it up, we ended up going for about 5 hours, 4 hours, I think.
Holy cow.
Yeah, I think I sold about 120 discs. I suppose.
Did you do money with it?
Did I make money?
Yes.
Yeah, I made money. I have to, at this point.
Did you pay for your tour card?
No, but I definitely made like a significant amount of money. I felt like it was worth it for me, for the time that we put in to having it, and definitely a huge shout out to everyone who came on. I probably won't do a lot of whatnots like that again, because that was basically all of the gems out of my personal MVP collection that I had collected on Facebook groups over the last couple of years. So a lot of old patent pending stuff and cool discs. So I will do whatnots in the future. It just won't be with amazing stuff from my collection like I did that one. But that was fun. Glad that I got on the trend. Glad that I learned how to use the platform. It's obviously been huge for pro disc golfers this entire season. A lot of people have made a lot of money using that platform, and it's certainly a really great service for our industry, where we have these diehard fans who want to collect stuff, and we have these players who can totally benefit from selling that stuff. So it feels like a symbiotic relationship, because I feel like I got rid of a lot of stuff. Like a lot of clutter that I wasn't using, that I wasn't throwing, that I wasn't wearing. And somebody else now is going to be stoked to have the things that they got. And I have to say right here, I have to confess a couple of things that I auctioned off. The first of which is your second place trophy from Portland Open 2019. Somebody bought that.
What?
Yeah, and I have no idea how Simon's going to react to this, so I'm preparing myself for any reaction here. But
shoes?
No, but you're close. You're warm.
Is underwear?
No.
Don't say underwear.
No, but you're very close. I auctioned off
socks.
I auctioned off every single pair of Simon Lizotte toe socks that he gave me, and they all sold for over $20. Every single pair. There was some person who bought three pairs of Lizotte game used toe socks.
And you're going to flip that money, and you're going to get like six pairs of toe socks though.
I don't know what I'm going to do with that money, but yeah, that was an amazing highlight of the last couple weeks, the Whatnot stream. It was crazy what I ended up selling. Wasn't planning. The comments really egged me on. I mean, I was right next to my room, so people were just like, go get some jerseys, go get some whatever. I heard on the Robinson stream with Ezra and Isaac, somebody bought the blades off of their ceiling fan that was in the background of their camera. Someone like they removed the ceiling fan blades and signed the blades and shipped them to a fan.
Yeah, I have such mixed feelings about Whatnot. Maybe only because I was drilled by UC my entire
life. It sounds like it's so anti-UC and how Dismania has brought us up in the disc golf world.
I'm just... Oh, just I saw that video too with the ceiling fan, and I was just like, wait, like one of the top disc golfers in the world is online selling his ceiling fan? That is weird.
I think as long as...
I know Gannon sold one of my old first-run PDs for like $240.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, I think it shows a lot about the, like, income of a given person on Whatnot based on what they're like willing to sell or just how much they like money. Because I gotta say, like, Gannon makes a lot of money, but he likes money, man. He is stingy on what he spends money on. He loves making money, and like, even if it's a little like a little profit here or some sales there, like the extra stuff that he has gone to lengths to do that he has made lots of money off of, like the amount of discs that Gannon has sold that he doesn't have to, but he just sees the opportunity and has the time. It is insane. But I think, I mean, you don't see, like, you see everyone doing it. I mean, even Calvin, like, clean. That's the thing with Whatnot, is that it takes something like Calvin's closet, which Calvin was literally just going to clean this closet out of discs and old stuff and get rid of it. And instead, he flipped it into probably a $6,000 profit on Whatnot, because he just, instead of donating it or giving it away, like, just flip it into Whatnot. And even the top players in our sport who are making millions of dollars a year or close to it, like up to $1 million a year, they still see the lucrativeness of Whatnot, and they still see that it's worth their time from time to time. So it's interesting for sure, because like you guys said, at some point you should be paid enough that you don't have to stoop to that level.
Well, the part of it that seems appealing to me is that opposed to going to eBay or Facebook Marketplace or even having your own website, it seems so much easier just to show your inventory and just rip through and sell whatever. Does Whatnot organize it pretty well for you too, so you know exactly where and how to send stuff?
Yeah, so Whatnot, that's the beautiful part, is from the user side, when you make an account on Whatnot, in order to bid on these items or to even watch the stream, you have to enter in all of that information as the user. So when someone buys an item or even makes a bid, that bid is attached to already an existing address and a payment form, and they can't, like, the money shows up and it's removed from their account as live as they win the bid. And then it gets released to you, the seller, once the shipment is, like, confirmed to have arrived at the recipient's place. Then Whatnot releases the money to you. So it is very streamlined. The shipping is, like, proprietary. It can be a little annoying if you have, like, local pickups or you want to do the shipping yourself. Whatnot kind of makes it do it their way, which is fine. And then if you have... We had a bunch of items that we knew we were going to sell ahead of time, and we took pictures and listed them. So people actually went and made pre-bids on a lot of those items, just like you would on Facebook. And then when the item went up for auction, it just started at the highest pre-bid. So that would be crazy. There were some discs that started at $60 because they had already received bids throughout the week. And then we had 100 random slots that was just called assorted discs. And that was our, like, that's how we planned to improvise during the live stream when we had ones that we weren't expecting to auction. So we just had, like, a random slot that people could see live on camera. So yeah, it was pretty great. And I appreciate the community. It was really fun. So Simon.
No, I it's great for... This is the last thing I'll say about it. It's, I think if you have valuable discs and you need to get a tour card, especially for certain levels of players, I think it's a great hustle. And I'm just hearing about it. I didn't know that much about it. I'm happy it exists.
Yeah. Yeah. On the tour card note, I applied for medical exemption for the tour card, because for those who don't know how tour card process works, top 90 MPO and 40 or 50, 45, I want to say 50 FPO are granted access to a full tour card. And then anyone outside of that can apply for an exemption, or I think they don't call it an exemption anymore. I think you just apply for a tour card, and you can get rewarded one of three tour cards: a full tour card, a European tour card, or a partial tour card. So obviously I was injured last year, so I applied for a medical exemption because I didn't have anything noteworthy to apply on other than the fact that I was hurt. And I received a partial tour card, which allows me to pre-register for 6 DGPT events. And then, yeah, I think the rest of my season will be filled in with some sponsor exemptions, hopefully, and then getting my rating up and trying to Monday qualify and kind of waiver wire into some bigger tournaments and just play the Joe Mess series and whatever in between A tiers makes sense. So my competitive schedule for 2026 is starting to formalize a bit, which is cool. And, yeah, Simon, you also traveled, international traveler. Tell us about your trip and some of the highlights.
Yeah, I took wife and kids to Germany to visit my side of the family, and it was pretty awesome. Very mild winter so far in Germany, which was nice that the kids didn't have to be bundled up in crazy clothing. When we went outside, the Christmas market was absolutely wild. A little too packed for my taste, but pretty good overall. And I got to play my home course twice, the Weser Ufer Park, which is always a highlight of my disc golf life. Just brings back memories, and it's just
the course is so good.
Cooler place.
It's a really amazing course for what it is.
And you've played there, Eagle, right?
It's like, honestly, if I had that course by my house, I'd be very happy.
It is a perfect course to learn on, and it's like a walk in the park. It's literally just a walk in the park with throwing discs, and that's about. And it's nice. It's right on the river.
And it's not like too short either. Like, there's some good throws out there.
Oh yeah, it's challenging. Like, if you shoot better than 10 under, you really did well.
Totally.
Kind of, sort of.
Vesa Ufa Park.
But yeah, no, family, everyone was all good. We tried so hard to get all the like great grandkids together for my grandma. I don't know. We never quite made it happen. Too many little illnesses. And before we went on this trip, oh my God, I got the sickest I've ever been in my life, I think. It was mine.
And you didn't have a really sick.
I was 2 weeks ago. I was so sick. And it was like, we went to Orlando to Disney. And then Mia, my daughter, got super sick. And then like when we got home the next day, Emmett got super sick. And then one day later, Natalia got super, super sick. And then 3 days later, I got super sick. So it was a miserable week after we got back from Florida, and we were still recovering when we left for Germany. But it kind of like got better within like 2 or 3 days of the Germany trip. But family around us also had to deal with sickness. When you have little kids, that's just part of your life. It's just, at least once a month, there's something. Maybe more than that. But yeah, it was a fun trip. I was dreading the flights, being stuck in a metal tube for 8 hours with a 1-year-old and a 3-year-old is just not exactly what I want to do. But they did surprisingly well, and it was overall not that bad, even though I'm glad it's over. And yeah, we're already gearing up for our trip to Puerto Rico in 2 weeks.
How long are you going there for?
Where I think the plan is 10 days again. I'm not exactly sure. I was kind of not really involved in the planning of that trip. But I'm excited because I get to go play the course there finally for the first time, which, again, I watched the tournament coverage. That course just right on the beach, like palm tree forest. It looks so fun. And I get to go golfing with Natalia's uncle. So I'm excited for a couple of things there.
And warm.
And warm weather, of course. Yeah. Puerto Rico in January. Cali. So yeah, my off season, unfortunately, is not really shaping up to be the most productive one, disc golf wise. And I don't really get a break travel wise. So I can't quite wrap my head around how next year is going to start or go. But my schedule is set for next season also. I think maybe we can talk about that if you guys have ideas about your schedule already too.
Yeah, give it out to us. Let's hear it.
Well, the beginning is quite busy with all the... we're basically starting a completely new way with the new addition in New Orleans, and then the new addition in Charlotte, and then the tournament in the major in Virginia. So it's kind of a good start for me because everything is relatively close. So I'm going to do all those. I think I'm going to skip Jonesboro. And then I really want to make it to Kansas this time because I've heard a lot of great things. And obviously, a course I've never been to and a tournament I've never played is always more interesting to me. And then the West Coast, I think, even though it kind of hurts to say, but I think I'm going to play OTB Open because it's a MVP-sponsored event and I know they really want me there. And I think I'm going to skip Portland. It's sad to say, but that's where I'm at right now.
What happened to I love you, Portland?
I love Portland, man, and those courses are so fun, but the travel, Man, it's just if you're going home from California and then like a week later you got to fly back to Oregon, it's just.
I have an idea.
I can get so much done at home in that time.
You could play the OTB Open, the Cascade Challenge, and the Northeast or Northwest Disc Golf Championship, and you can bring your whole family, take them out to the West Coast.
I'll show Emmett the redwoods.
Emmett wants to see the redwood trees.
Emmett would love to see those trees.
I think both of those kids would lose their mind in the redwoods.
Oh, yeah. Mia would point at all the trees and say tree every time. So, yeah. And Europe, I think what I'm going to do, my original plan, being the burnt out me that I was a couple of weeks ago, was to skip Europe completely and just take, what is it, July?
Pretty, like, June and early part of July.
Yeah, end of June, early July off. But then I saw these back-to-back Sweden events that are, like, within an hour of each other. And I know I can just, from Boston, can fly straight to Copenhagen, which is not too far from Gothenburg, where those tournaments are-ish.
Two-hour train ride.
Yeah, I can take a train or rent a car, and I think it's like a three-hour car drive. So I signed up for those two, and I also haven't played in Sweden in like, I don't know, 6-7 years. I want to see Ale again, and the other course I've never played, so it would be exciting to do those 2 weeks. I don't think I can possibly do 3 weeks again in Europe, even though it hurts me again to skip Estonia, because I love that event, and I want to be part of it. But I just think next year is not the time for me. I'll be back for sure. Also, I love downtown Tallinn. It's like one of the funnest weeks of this season, I think I had. So it is sad. It's not the ideal situation, I would say. But yeah, then I'll play basically the rest of the season except for GMC. Because I'm going back to Germany to play my first German championships, which Simon Line will be the presenting sponsor of that event. So that was a fun little side project we did last couple months. And it's the week of GMC. So I'll be playing in Germany and then come back straight for MVP Open. And then hopefully I'm qualified for USDGC and Pro Tour Finals by then. I hope.
Sounds like a good season to me.
That's it. I think a total of 16 tournaments are on the list.
16. Do you want to say your schedule, Joey?
I don't have a good like grasp of my schedule, but I would love to encourage our listeners in the comments, write down in the comments what 6 events you think I should sign up for on tour this year. I think I'm going to see if I can get any sponsor exemptions into some MVP events, as well as some OTB events. So we'll see about that. And that might determine which 6 I pick. But I think for sure Florida.
Joey, pick 6.
Yeah, I think for sure Florida. I think
all the tough ones to get in, right?
Yeah, I think maybe Swedish Open, just because I love that course. And
what course is that?
That's Umer Gordon's Disc Golf Center.
That's good?
I don't think you'll like it as much. I think it's like,
oh,
it's
don't say that.
I think Simon might actually like it.
I do think that the courses,
short.
Yeah, sure. The courses in Sweden are a lot more to Simon's style. I think that I'm curious to see. They've had a 2-year break off of the tour, the Swedish Open. So what I'm curious to see is some of the gripes that I think people have about that course are similar to Brewster. The gripes that it gets, just like really inconsistent ground play and like a little bit of flukiness. It's not everywhere on the course. It's just like there are some spots that are not clean, but most of the course is really awesome. And that team there has put in so much time developing, but also requesting feedback from its players that come and adjusting on those on that feedback. So they're really receptive crew. And the property is really fun, I think. It's a cool place. You played there, right, Eagle?
Yep, I did.
Oh, that's when you stayed in that RV.
Yeah. My favorite thing about the course was the sauna on site.
Yep. Yep. And the nice. Well, and the two body guys who were there, Mott's and I can't remember his
name. Oh, yeah.
Those guys are insane. Those were like the warm-ups trainer specialists.
They were so nice.
They were really, really good. They had some cool equipment. So it's at like a cross-country skiing center. So yeah, I'm excited to be back out on the road and check out some of the new events. I'll probably sign up for Charlotte, I would imagine, and New Orleans, just because those are fun early events in the season. I'll probably skip Portland. We'll see. But yeah, I'm going to play as much as I can.
There you go.
Should we do a Simon Wines?
What about Eagle?
What about me, Joey? You don't care about where I'm going?
No.
All right, I'll run through it real quick. I get back from Hawaii on February 4th, and my tentative plan right now is I want to buy a new car right when I get home.
Can you say what you want?
I think I want a Subaru Outback.
Hell yeah.
Of course.
Because I have two vehicles currently. I have my van, Ford Transit, and then a Tesla Model 3. And the Tesla it's not a touring option. And I would like to have a car where I can kind of just rip out to certain events, maybe sleep in the back if I need to. And I have some good connections over on the east side of the United States, and potentially just leave it out there certain times just so I can fly in and out to help me spend as much time at home as I can without making everything too hard. So I'm going to play Supreme Flight Open, play New Orleans. I'm going to skip Charlotte, because if I skip Charlotte, it gives me a good chunk of time back home. I'm aiming for like 17-ish events next year, just enough to kind of make some of the off weeks double, to where like if I normally get one off week, I'd get two. Champions Cup, planning on Jonesboro, Kansas City, probably skipping Austin, because for me to go from Kansas City to Austin, then up to the West Coast, doesn't make a lot of sense. I want to drive from Kansas City to Colorado, which is less than like an 8-hour drive. So that'd be the play for me there.
That's Eagle's favorite drive in the entire country, is Kansas City to Denver.
It's the best. It's like the closer I get to Denver, my smile gets bigger and bigger. I'll play the whole West Coast swing. I'm going to play the Jomez Pro Cascade Challenge, Northwest Disc Golf Championship. And like Simon, I'm kind of torn on whether I even go to Europe or not. Obviously, you have the major over there and I want to make it, but an off year from Europe sounds nice, but it's looking like I'd probably go to Estonia, have an off week to go to somewhere cool in Europe that I've never been to. Who knows where that'll be? Play Ole, come back, Ritano, play U.S. Women's. I'd skip Ledgestone and Idlewild and finish out the year. So that's approximately like 15 to 17 events.
Woo!
Solid.
Yeah, just like skipping just a few tactful ones. Like if you have an off week, you could get like, you get a full 2 weeks. That would have been so helpful for my year, this year, to have skipped like just two events to keep my sanity, because there was two times where I stretched my overall saneness out on the disc golf course. And if I didn't play those events, I think I would have been much better off.
Do you know how we sign up for the Jomez series?
I saw it on the tour card selection.
Oh, cool. So it's like You can, oh, nice.
Oh, and I will say, I kind of want to play Las Vegas Challenge, and then depending how I'm feeling, the Jomez series at Cactus Rock at the end of the year, the Jomez Pro finale.
Oh, for sure.
That sounds really cool, and I have incentive to go down to Alabama anyway, so I might end up doing that.
We should convince Simon to come down.
I want to play Memorial.
Memorial. They're not playing Vista. They're playing a course called Red Mountain, I think.
Even better. I hated Vista.
Well, this course looks like it's in the middle of the desert. I mean, they're all in the middle of the desert, but this one's desert terrain.
Wow. The Professional Darts World Championships is underway, so shout out to all of your darts fans out there. I'm watching all the recaps on YouTube. Simon's probably watching a little bit of live darts. I'm not sure. Are you?
Yeah, when I ever get a chance, I tune in. First round games are always not the most exciting ones. Sometimes they are kind of fun to watch, but the level is just not as impressive as your usual favorites to watch. But no, yeah, Germany so far is doing pretty well. Only one player has lost.
Nico Springer. Actually,
the guy that was actually the favorite to go far in this tournament didn't perform. That stage is tough to find your A game, it seems like.
I think the first round of a big tournament like that is all about the extra stuff that happens, the Cameron Menzies moments, the little extracurriculars that you see around the matches.
MVG almost lost yesterday. Did you see that?
Yeah, Mike Dedecker got upset by African, a guy from Kenya, David Munyua. Absolutely insane.
I love how the crowd always supports underdogs. Like whenever they notice the underdog has a chance, they are all in. I love it.
Who's your who do you want to win and who do you think will win?
I think Luke Littler will win. Who do I want to win? I don't know, probably Luke Littler.
I think that Luke Littler will win, and I want Stephen Bunting to win.
I know Stephen Bunting. I know that's the one guy I know.
Dude, Simon, imagine that walkout, his walkout song on the World Championship Finals when he has the entire crowd singing to him in the World Championship Finals.
I mean, the crowd sings every song, so.
I know, but with his, it's like, it's extra chills with Stephen Bunting's walkout song.
Okay, I've never experienced that way.
With the Titanium by Sia, and his name is the Bullet, and then he starts singing to the crowd because he's bulletproof, and that's part of the song. It's pretty great.
Wow. Good old Bunting.
Good old Bunting. So, excited for that. One of Joey and Simon's lifelong bucket list goals at some point is to attend a live World Darts Championship with Simon's childhood friend. Is that the right way to say that? Childhood friend, Sebastian? Hometown friend?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a dream of ours. So one of these Christmases when we're not...
I went to Werder Bremen Stadium with Sebastian last Sunday.
Oh, my God.
That was awesome.
I'm
and
so
they
jealous.
Lost 4-0. Their worst defeat all year, minus Munich, but Munich never counts.
Wow. Good luck charm.
That was, I mean, I still enjoyed it, but it was, it was sad.
Even if you don't go to Estonia, I'm going to try to convince Sebastian to join us. I think that was fun when he came 2 years ago to Tallinn and we were scootering everywhere.
I just convinced Natalia to go, and I'm in.
Wow. To Tallinn?
Sure.
Can you get a babysitter?
I think Maria.
Maria.
Maria would do some convincing. That would be great.
Ay.
That would be great. Simon, I want you to whine, and then I want to maybe read an email.
Shine or a dine?
A wine, shine, dine?
Oh, here. Oh, I have a shine ready.
Yay.
All right, this one. I hope people can relate to this, or I'm the only idiot who ever breaks or whoever scratches up sunglasses to a point where it's just not fun to wear them anymore, because I buy I buy pretty nice sunglasses. And then my goal is every time to just take good care of them and put them back in their case or make sure they're in a spot where they don't get scratched. And like within a week or two, I just somehow they get a scratch on them. And at that point, I just give up. And then they just get so scratched that I just throw them in my disc golf bag and they're next to my metal mini. And it's just not a good situation. But then I still wear them for like, let's say, half a year. And then I eventually, it gets so bad that I can barely see anything, but I'm just used to it, but it's still miserable. But then the day I decide, all right, I need a new pair, to then put on that new pair and walk around, actually being able to see things again, is one of the greatest feelings of my life, I think. And I just wanted to shine a light on, if you have scratched up sunglasses, do yourself a favor and switch out the lenses or get new ones and enjoy the moment.
Or just take care of your glasses.
Yeah, but then you never get the moment of new glasses.
Yeah, the new glasses moment. I know that moment. I've had that moment. It's amazing.
It's like almost mind-blowing. Like, wait, this is what life could be?
Have you you guys have played Mario Kart? It's like Yes.
Oh yeah.
Well, the only thing I relate to on that is I wear prescription glasses, and if there's like a smudge and I can't like, I don't know, if I like use my shirt and it makes it worse, and then when I like wipe it clean, it's life in HD. And I don't know, I could never have scratch glasses. I would go immediately. I'm not that kind of person.
You're definitely not that kind of person. I am totally that kind of person.
Yeah.
I must be somewhere in the middle, because I don't buy expensive sunglasses. I actually have a very specific brand that I buy, and I don't even know what it's called, but it exists at
very specific.
Well, but it exists at every Walgreens in the country. So all I have to do is go to a Walgreens. I know exactly what they look like. They're $18. And
are they the blue ones that you have?
Yeah, they're the blue ones that I have. Yeah.
Are they gooder?
I don't think they're gooder. I think there's some even cheaper than that, like a Tommy Bahama or something. I might not even be that. I'll let you know. I used to go for the blenders, but like Simon, I scratched them so bad so quick that I told myself that it was not worth it for me to buy any sunglasses over $20 because of the way I take care of them.
I wish I was in the same boat. I should be in the same boat, I want to say, but
I want to be in your boat.
I can never find a pair that I'd even halfway like that is cheap.
So maybe I should take you to a Walgreens. Let me show you a Walgreens aisle one of these days.
Was that a shiny wine or a whiny shine?
No, that was just a pure shine. I wanted to shine on the moment of wearing a fresh pair of sunglasses.
What a fantastic episode. Or bat.
This is a crushed pepper mini.
It's a mini pepper. Uh-huh. It's like a little Thai chili pepper. A bird's eye chili, if you will.
Oh, I'm hungry. Give me Thai food right now. That'd be awesome.
I have two things to plug.
Okay.
Or one is more of a story. So out here in Hawaii, I shot a video at Lava Links. And I was just going on, and for some of the listeners, they definitely know the band. And shout out our producer, Will Davis. He told me about this band. They're called Bill Murray. The name is spelled B-I-L-M-U-R-I. And he's kind of, they kind of come from like the metal, kind of post-hardcore emo world, but lately they've been doing a genre called country core. So it's like kind of hardcore country. And I've absolutely been loving it. And they have like all these like, you know, references and quotes. And I was quoting it on my vlog. I'm like, oh my God, do you think Bill Murray watches my videos? Lo and behold, he freaking comments and says that like he's a disc golfer. And it just like blew my mind because, I mean, it's kind of a big band. I don't know if you guys have heard of Sleep Token. They're like one of the biggest metal bands in the world. Literally opened up for their stadium tour. So I was just absolutely mind blown. I'm DMing him back and forth on Instagram right now. I'm probably going to be sending him some MVP discs. So I've been like super stoked about that. And now the promo is, if you're hearing this and they're not sold out, my new Synergy Series range is now out on the MVP Pro Shop. For the US, it is exclusive to the Pro Shop. If you're in Europe, then you might be able to get it from a brick and mortar retailer and or your favorite online retailer out in Europe. But yeah, that's what I got to plug.
Congrats. That's sick.
It is pretty cool.
Wow. There you go.
Joey, you should listen to the album American Motorsports. You're going to dig it. If you like, if you have any country blood in you, you'll get down on it. Like every song.
Joey loves country.
I like some country for sure. I still, one of the weirdest aspects of my entire life is that Eagle McMahon turned me on to country music.
That's pretty weird.
I can never change that.
You can never.
Well, what's our, what's the episode name? I sold your toe socks.
I sold. That's pretty good.
Eagle McMahon turned me on.
That's even better.
I like that too.
I don't know. I have one more thing. I wanted to wait till the end of the episode. I got news.
No.
Oh. What?
Your boy's married.
What?
What?
Uh-huh.
You got married?
I got married.
Without getting engaged?
We were engaged for like, we were like kind of engaged, but I don't know. We did not do it the standard way. I was like, do you want to get married? Do you want to, I was like, we were like laying in bed, like, you want to get married? And he's like, yeah, let's do it.
How did you do it?
We just eloped.
Or no questions allowed.
Just eloped.
What?
December 14th. We literally.
What does that mean? I don't know what that means.
You go to a government building / courthouse. You get the paperwork, and in Hawaii, you need to have a performer. So we found a performer, went out to the Japanese Garden, signed the paperwork, and the rest is history. Eagle McMahon and Ratana McMahon.
She's going to be Ratana McMahon.
She's Ratana McMahon.
Wow.
Yep.
I have to say, it's really nice how closely Meekum and McMahon are to each other.
Yeah, same initials. Cat's out of the bag now. Like,
wow.
People were commenting on my videos. Like,
you're married.
They noticed the ring, but now it's out in the world.
When did you get engaged?
We kind of never got engaged.
Okay. So did you buy a ring the day after or the same day?
I never got down on a knee and proposed.
No, but like, Ratana, now does no she have a ring?
No offense to anybody else out in the world, but Ratana and I don't understand typical marriage culture at all. And we just wanted to do it our way.
But does she have a ring? Did you go shopping for like a nice ring, or does she have a plain?
She has like a family heirloom that she's, I mean, we talked about it, and she's like, I would hate a really like fancy diamond ring. That's not my style.
Yep.
She has like this old family heirloom ring that her sister gave to her that she's happy wearing. And I have a $5 rubber band from Amazon.
Wow. And
I'm potentially going to get a tattoo on my finger. Just cause
did you,
I don't like the idea of having a ring on my finger.
But you like the idea of the symbol of the ring.
Yes. Like I like the symbol, but I think I'm going to do a tattoo at some point.
Wow. And was there any part of the Japanese Garden paperwork signing that was like ceremonious at all for you guys? Or was it very like Very
the
just.
performer brought the performer brought his dog, and he's like asking us, like, you know, just what are you guys doing on the island? Go eat at this place. It was like so casual.
And already had your rings on, or did you put them on?
I mean, afterwards we had like a bit of a moment where we put our rings on, and I gave her a hug and a kiss, and it was special.
Good. That's what I was wondering. If you just had like a little special thing between you guys to commemorate it, because whether or not the rest of the world needs to see it in this big, fat, big celebration, I think it is important that you guys like have that moment of connection together where you're this is
did
big.
Did you vlog it?
I did not vlog it. No. I mean, the special thing is we are in Hawaii for 2 months. Like, that's the special thing. We're always going to remember this time in Hawaii.
Yeah, who needs a honeymoon? You're already there.
Yeah, we're having like a honey, two moon cycles.
Wow.
Well, congrats.
Thank you.
Wow.
The episode name is Joey Sold Simon Socks.
Perfect.
I love it. Toe socks, that is. Joey sold Simon's toe socks.
All right, you guys. Thanks for listening, as always. And have a amazing holiday. Amazing whatever holiday you choose to celebrate. Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. We will talk to you guys soon.
Keep on dreaming. Peace.